Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord. Thank you for being here. I hope the first few weeks of 2015 have been off to a good start for you in whichever way that is best for you. The energy of this year feels very crisp, fresh, new, anticipation is what I'm feeling too. So in this show, we're going to look at the big astrological energies of 2015 because these energies that are coming up in this year are quite different than what we've been moving through in the past 3 years. And so I want to give you a heads up about some of the themes you can expect and potentially how some of these energies will be working with you personally. Now, if you have your astrology chart handy, you're going to want to take a look at it and see if you have any planets at 13, 14, or 15 degrees of Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn. Those four astrological signs are the cardinal signs of the zodiac, and they are going to be up for more change this year. And this is important. If you don't have your astrology chart right now, you can always grab it and come back and listen to the show again later. I'd like to give you a heads up about the main, let's call them triggers, the main hot spots of the year ahead. And in the past 3 years, 10, 11, and 12 degrees of these cardinal signs have been the hot spots. So we're moving forward, and the planets are touching new territory. We're going into new spaces. We're, you know, moving ahead as always. And if you have planets at 13, 14, or 15 degrees, it's going to be a pivotal year for you because you're going to be required, if you will, to evolve on some level, to initiate a new part of yourself. And this is powerful. It will depend on your specific chart and the planets or points that are being worked with. But overall, it means that you're up for a big year of change. It means that there's something within you that's ready to evolve and move forward. And if you have planets at 10, 11, or 12 degrees, of Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, then you've been going through this process. And it's a slower process. Now, let me share a little bit more about that. It's because we're working with Pluto in Capricorn, which is the most intense planet. It is the slowest moving. So it requires us to go into an energy deeply, deeply, to really work with it, to transform at a foundational level. And that takes time. Pluto transits are the most intense transits in the zodiac. And that's because they're requiring you to let go of something that is expired, it's done, it no longer serves you. And it's going to then bring in something more powerful. And that's a new aspect of you that's even stronger, even more evolved, a higher vibration. And that will come in after the transformation takes place. The thing with Pluto transits is, again, you can't rush them, but you have to honor them and respect the timing, respect the process. And typically, the results of all that transformation and hard work show up after you've gone through the process. It's not usually an immediate payoff. So that's important to know because it can help adjust your expectations accordingly. And on a personal note, I can share with you that I've had many Pluto transits. I've had many Pluto transits in my life. Since 2007, I've had one, two, three, four. I've had four. Touching my ascendant and some of my personal planets. And I will be honest with you and saying you are in a place of letting go, greater trust. You have those days where you maybe feel like you're not in control or you can't make anything happen, and you're just trusting, surrendering, loving yourself, and moving through the process. And it can bring up a lot, but it will also bring you to a higher level of your own energy. Not everybody has Pluto transits. Not everybody has personal Pluto transits, I should say. So if this is the year for you, Pluto transits, you at a soul level chose this. And that's important because that's empowering. You can say, okay, at this point in my life, I chose to have this transformation. I chose to be shown something about myself and about my energy that I wasn't aware of. Because Pluto brings out what's in your subconscious or unconscious. It brings up parts of yourself that you didn't see before or that you didn't want to see. It brings up our ugly stuff. It brings up our humanness. It brings up anything that we perhaps have been allowing to operate in our shadow energy. And this is such a gift, because now you transform it into greater light. So that's one of the themes of this year. If you have a personal planet at 13 or 14 degrees. And the other aspect that's working with you is the Uranus in Aries energy. And this is the part of you that says, I have to be me. Everything else that was not me anymore gets thrown out the window. It's a rebellious energy. It's a restless energy. It's like this craving for change that explodes out of you and says, I have to do this. I have to be me. It's an impulsive energy, but it can also be quite empowering. It's like you throw off these parts of yourselves that you don't want to carry anymore. And it is very much about your self-identity evolving and becoming more true, a truer sense of yourself. Now, the Uranus and Aries energy has been happening for a while. Uranus moves faster than Pluto. And so it's already touched on 13 degrees, 14 degrees, and 15 degrees. It's going to touch on those points again throughout this year. So if you've already been feeling that sense of, I have to make a change, I have to switch this up, I can't go on anymore like this, that's going to come through again in 2015. So that is just one of the themes that we have going on this year. And I'd like to let you know that I'm teaching an introductory astrology class that starts January 20th. You can find out more information on my website, consciouscoolchic.com. And you can register. If you register before the 18th, you get the special early pricing. And then I'm still accepting registrations after that. But go ahead and check that out. So you go to consciouscoolchic.com, and there's more about this class on the right sidebar of my website, and it says introductory astrology class, because I know many of you are really ready to learn more about astrology and what it all means. And I've been teaching beginners for a while, and I can really help you understand your chart, and I do it differently. I teach this in a way where we look at the most important things, the broad strokes, and then bring it down to the specifics. So I hope you can join me if you're interested in that. We have a great international group. And if you can't make it live, you can always listen to the replay afterwards. So be sure and check that out if you're interested. Now, there's a lot to cover here, as always, and I'm just going to go over some of the main highlights of 2015, like I said. But throughout the year, I do more astrology shows. So we, you know, touch bases and we check in and just see how things are going as we proceed through this year. Now, something that's really, it's really cool how this happens, but Mercury retrograde is going to happen three times this year. And each time it happens, it will be in an air sign. An air sign, which Mercury loves. Mercury loves air signs. So, for example, our first Mercury retrograde of 2015 actually starts next week. Starts on January 21st, and it goes until February 12th. And it will go retrograde in Aquarius. Now, Aquarius rules technology, groups, communities, humanity's shared values. Aquarius is concerned with the collective, with visionary ideals, with advancements in technology. It's computers, the internet, and when it goes retrograde, and when Mercury goes retrograde in this sign, we revisit how we are collectively uniting together, what we are sharing, how we are communicating with each other, where we are even making sure that we're each participating in collective change. Throughout this year, when Mercury goes retrograde in air signs, it's going to be about communication, ideas, how we are talking to one another, how we are being very intentional with our words. It's going to also give us the gift of looking at our own minds. Because Mercury in an air sign is very cerebral. It's our left brain. It's our linear thinking. How are we arriving at certain facts, certain details? How are we processing? How are we sharing and accepting different ideas? And it shows us that in 2015, we're going to need to be very conscious and aware of how our brains are working. We're going to be given the opportunities to tap into our thoughts even more, because our thoughts drive so much of our energy, and our thoughts can be incredibly unconscious. You know, the mind can be very reactionary. It can be stuck in old beliefs and unconscious patterns. So this is the year where we will be given more opportunities to say, well, what do I really think about that? What am I going to say about that? How am I going to be very consciously aware of my words? And where do I need to reprogram my thoughts? So we hear a lot about Mercury retrograde. It gets the most hype, if you will. But the truth is that every planet goes retrograde except for the sun and the moon. They're not technically planets, they're luminaries, but we throw them into the planets category just to make it easier to talk about them. Every planet goes retrograde, so that means in reverse. But it's an interesting phenomenon because a planet never really goes in reverse. It's just our perspective here on Earth. And isn't that fascinating that we have, on some level, a need for this perception of retrograde because it helps us slow down. It helps us reevaluate, review a particular part of ourselves. And that's the gift of a retrograde. For every planet, is that a retrograde is when you bring the energy in for reflection. And perhaps you've heard it said that retrograde applies to or is described as the words that begin with RE. So that's review, reflect, reconsider, reevaluate. It also includes relax. And maybe we need more of that sometimes. Relax. So the Mercury retrograde is important because Mercury is the fastest moving planet in our solar system. It is our, like I said, our mental functioning and our communication style, but it's also our daily life activities. It's that need to, okay, I got to get in the car and go to the store, and I need to go to the bank and the post office, and then I have to go pick up this and do this, and then I have to come home. It rules our daily activities. It also rules our neighborhood, our siblings, short distance travel. It essentially is about our daily lives and how we invest our time. So in 2015, we'll be given opportunities to rethink about how we're directing our energy on a daily basis. And is it really serving me? Is it really what I want? Is it really reflecting how I want to live my life? So that's a heads up about Mercury retrograde. In the air sign specifically. And let me actually look here on my calendar, and I can give you a heads up about when the next Mercury retrogrades will be coming through. Just a second. I'm going to actually move on to our next topic, and then I'll come back and share that information with you. So let's look at another change that's going to be happening this year. And that is, late in the summer, we have some interesting energies around female energies and goddess energy. Now, every 18 months, Venus goes retrograde. So it's not that often. That's once every year and a half. And Venus retrograde is meant to, again, bring us into ourselves and to look at what we value, to look at where we are loving ourselves, where we are receiving, where we are in our feminine energy, our intuitive space. Venus is also concerned with beauty, fashion, feeling feminine, expressing our feminine energies. And it's powerful in our relationships as well. Powerful in how we relate to one another and in our personal relationship needs. What do you need to receive to feel loved? And are you also giving that energy to yourself? So Venus is going to go retrograde, and that happens the end of July, July 25th. She goes retrograde at 0 degrees of Virgo and will stay retrograde until September 6th. So that's about 6 weeks of retrograde. And she goes retrograde in Leo, so back to 14 degrees of Leo. So what we're doing in that time period is looking at our ability to receive for our creative gifts. How are we loving ourselves for who we really are? You know, it's easy to say that, but how are we really practicing it? And the Venus retrograde can show you maybe some missing links or some blind spots. It can show you what needs to be changed around or upgraded. It also will show you how you work with money and finances as a demonstration of your self-worth. Are you honoring yourself with financial energy? Meaning, are you undercharging for your services? Are you ready to raise your game? Are you ready to change how you use money? So that happens the end of the summer. And the other thing that coincides with that is Jupiter enters Virgo for the first time in 12 years. And Virgo energy is also feminine. It's associated with an earth mother, with the harvest, with everything that's gone into nurturing and growing something that has value. Now, it's interesting when Jupiter goes into Virgo, because these two energies are actually not very well aligned. See, Jupiter is all about the bigger picture, the big ideals. It wants to expand and grow, and let's look at how something can benefit us and help us expand our definitions of self, our wisdom, our belief system. Jupiter wants to connect us with something bigger than ourselves. Well, Virgo is concerned with the details, the smaller aspects, the daily practices and steps. Virgo is practical. Jupiter is more ideal. And so these two energies together can have a bit of a misfit energy, because while one wants to expand, the other wants to shrink and specify. So Jupiter in Virgo is going to be great for helping you tune into your daily health practices, well-being, to focus on your body and how you're really taking care of yourself. It's going to help you see maybe where you're missing some details or some aspects of yourself that can be improved. It's great for organization. It's great for developing a process. It's also great for simplifying. So that's one thing to think about, is when Jupiter goes into Virgo in August, you'll be ready to simplify a part of your life. You'll be ready to say, you know, this doesn't work for me anymore. I'm going to go with what is even better. So there's this improvement energy, this self-improvement, this focus on out with the old and with the new. I'm ready for the next best solution. It also brings an emphasis to healing, healing energies, earth energies, specifically gardening, flowers, crystals, trees, you know, anything that's literally of the earth is going to be incredibly nurturing. And with the Virgo focus, it's a return to earth magic, animals, and the gifts of animals, the gifts of the natural world, the gifts of connecting with what is real in our daily lives. And this is beautiful, practical goddess energy. And it's going to help ground us because Jupiter has not been in an earth sign for about 4 years. And so we're ready for this. We're ready to get back to what is realistic and what is needed and what is ready to be put into a new form. So that happens the end of August, specifically August 12th is when Jupiter goes into Virgo and will stay there for a little over a year. Now, the one thing, I mentioned this a while ago, the one thing that stands out to me is that late summer, late July through September is when the energies around feminine energy, relationship energies, are a little bit, unstable perhaps. And because of that, it's not the best late summer to get married. Any astrologer would say, well, you don't want to get married when Venus is retrograde, which we just talked about, is the case from late July to early September. And then, you know, you might want to think about waiting until Jupiter is in Libra in late 2006, because Libra is all about relationships and partnerships and marriage. And Jupiter in Libra is great for marriage and new beginnings in that area. So just a heads up, if anyone's out there wondering about planning or relationship activities, it's actually best to wait if possible. Of course, you'd want to have a consultation with an astrologer to make sure what is best for your chart. But just a heads up, because it's an interesting summer. It's actually an interesting summer. So if you can wait until late 2016, it's even more beneficial. Now, I said I would let you know about some of those upcoming Mercury retrogrades, just so you can have it in your mind here. So we have our first one, January 21st to February 12th. And then the next Mercury retrograde is going to be May 19th, and that's at 13 degrees of Gemini. And then it will stay retrograde until June 12th. June 12th, and that's all in Gemini. And then the final Mercury retrograde of the year happens in September 18th. That's at 15 degrees of Libra, and then it goes retrograde until October 10th, and that's at 0 degrees of Libra. So only three retrogrades this year. I think actually in 2014 we had four. So how about that? We got something to look forward to with only three Mercury retrogrades. So let's move on to a few other highlights of 2015. Now, back in December, I was sharing with you more about the significance of Saturn going into Sagittarius. This is a cycle that happens every 29 to 30 years. It's quite significant. It's definitely a change of energy because Saturn is asking us to look at our foundations, look at our discipline, look at our mature adult energies. And when it goes into Sagittarius, it's asking us to be very clear about our beliefs and what we trust. It's also concerned with positivity and joy. And I know that the past few years have been tough because of the Saturn in Scorpio energies. It's like you couldn't hide from anything. There was a lot going on behind the scenes. There was a lot of darker energies, if you will, that had to be transformed and to get real. The darker side of Scorpio is manipulation, betrayal, secrets, trust issues, power struggles. And in Saturn, all of that gets revealed on some level. And it requires us to go into the deepest parts of ourselves to see what shadow energies we are individually holding and where we have to raise up that energy. And because Saturn is all about responsibility and work, it's not the easy ticket. It's not the easy train. It's diligent. It's being responsible. It's saying, okay, I have to do the work around this stuff. Well, as Saturn now moves into Sagittarius, that journey continues, and whatever we learned about ourselves, wherever we gave away our power, wherever we were in our shadow energies, or wherever we were in fear, deep fear, we now have the ability to raise that up in Sagittarius and to understand the higher perspectives of the human journey and how we're connected to something bigger than ourselves. So this Saturn in Sagittarius is important because it's going to help bring you to more light and happiness, and to make a commitment to it, to really say, you know, I'm going to make a commitment to being positive about my journey, to being happy, to being joyful, to being better at these parts of myself. And what's going to happen is actually in June, Saturn is going to go retrograde back into those late degrees of Scorpio. It's going to go to 29 and to 28 degrees of Scorpio. So it's going to revisit the themes of December 2014, and whatever you were perhaps finishing up or working on or ending, it's going to give you a little bit more of a check-in period there. If you've done your work with that stuff, it's not going to be as hard. If you didn't, if you did maybe 80%, you're going to get a chance to finish it up and do that remaining 20%. So that's going to be a revisit in June, July, and August. And parts of September is we're going to go back into some of that some of that Scorpio energy to finish it up. And then Saturn comes back into Sagittarius and stays there until 2017. And that's when I'm feeling it's like we're going to be even more solid in what our vision is, what your vision is for yourself, for your life, for who you can aspire to be and what you can inspire in others. So that'll be in September. So that's coming up later in the year, obviously. And right now we're just getting a bit of a preview of some of that initial groundwork, of some of the foundations and possibilities. So think of it as, you know, the first 6 months of 2015. What is my next vision? What is my next goal? Where do I want to go next? Where do I want to take things? Where do I want to take myself? What do I want to learn? And how do I want to grow? Then July and September, through September, we go back into finishing up the remnants of that inner work. And then in September, it's solid. You're going to feel more solid, as if, okay, I got it now. I got this new part of me that I'm going to focus on and make a commitment to. Saturn requires us to be serious about our commitments, to honor them. And I feel it as, where do you need to honor yourself and believe in yourself more that you can really do this, that you can really lay down some serious groundwork for your biggest inspiring goals? And that alone feels awesome, because I think we're ready for that. You know, we're ready for the fact that, yes, you can do this. You can follow the dream. You can make things happen. Never mind the past. Never mind what you've been through. You know, this is where you come back to this part of yourself that says yes. So I'll talk more about this as the year moves ahead. And there's something else here that's really important, and it's connected with the Saturn energy. In late 2015, in the fall, Saturn in Sagittarius is going to square Neptune in Pisces. Now, a square in astrology means that something has to shift, something has to change. And one of the best visuals I like to think of for this square is that you are driving in your car and you're going straight ahead through an intersection, and to your right, there's another vehicle in that intersection coming right at you. And in this example, you're not going to crash. You slam on the brakes. At the same time, they slam on their brakes. And the two of you have a T-bone, if you will, or you hit each other and you're going in different directions. And this is what a square is in astrology. It's a 90-degree angle of two different energies requiring shifting, change, evolution. Something has to evolve here. And with Saturn in Sagittarius, we're looking at our beliefs. Neptune in Pisces is showing us what we've been denying or escaping. And the two of these coming together are going to require greater responsibility from us individually and collectively to make some serious changes that are for the betterment of humanity. And this connects to global issues. It connects to water. Neptune in Pisces is a wonderful example of water. Well, it's showing us where we need to be more responsible with water sources. You know, for years, there have been assertions that the next world war is about water and how there are more extreme droughts and how not everyone has access to clean water. It'll be interesting how that shows up. And also through the oceans, pollution. What was it a few years ago when we had that giant oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? That was the Neptune in Pisces showing us where we have to be honoring our natural resources. Neptune in Pisces also is about Ebola. It's about diseases that are spread. And how are we taking care of each other's health as a global population? How are we being responsible with that? And Saturn in Sagittarius is going to potentially be quite righteous in saying, this is the way to solve it. This is what we have to do. But at the same time, we have to open that up and make sure that we're taking care of one another. So this is a new energy. And it's quite significant. And it begins in let me give you some an exact date here, because it's in the later part of 2015. And it's going to make a few connections. It's not just a one-time occurrence. Saturn and Neptune, it's like the what is real and what needs to be real. What have we been denying? What have we been avoiding? What have we been escaping? And this could be in yourself, but also collectively, also in the world at large. And so this exact square happens in November, end of November, 29th, 30th, and it'll again happen in 2016. So we're going to be needing to switch it up, change some things around, look for new solutions will be paramount. So it'll be interesting to see what comes to our global awareness in November. The other thing that we want to make sure and touch on is coming up a little bit sooner here, and that is in March. March is a huge month in 2015. March has some important energies, and I'm going to touch on each one here. So we've been moving through significant growth since 2012, and that's because of the Pluto in Capricorn and Uranus in Aries square, which I talked about at the beginning of the show. These two planets make 7 pivotal connections in 3 years. And any astrologer has been talking about this, every astrologer, because it's a big freaking deal, big deal. And so in March, we have the last of these squares, the 7th square, which signals a grand finale, a completion, a bridge that we've been crossing. It's about really shifting and being a new version of yourself that could not have come about any sooner and is ready to be born, is ready to come through. And so this 7th square happens on March 16th, but it's not a day event. This is a process that has been underway, like I said, since 2012, and it's going to be felt throughout most of March. So let's just do a broad stroke here, include all of March in this 7th square. And on a personal level, you could find yourself dealing with an issue that you finally have resolution about, forgiveness, completion. And I just got chills. I just got chills as I said that. Because you're done with something. There's a part of you that you've learned a lot about, and you're moving forward. You're moving on. And it's a strong completion energy throughout all of March. So that March 16th square is important. And we have a few other things going on around the same time period. March 20th is a really important day too. This is a Pisces solar eclipse. It's our first solar eclipse of the year, and it's at 29 degrees of Pisces, the very last degree of the zodiac, the very last degree, and a solar eclipse. that's a big deal. Again, completion energy. a true ending, a true finale to a part of your experience that has served its purpose, that you've learned from, a true emphasis on forgiveness, compassion, love, trust in what's next. This can show up as endings and changes that are no longer fitting for you, that, you know, you'll start the next phase of your life or you'll start something else. March has that final phase energy. And I feel this being really significant for us globally because something needs to change. And, you know, there are many planets that are going to be in Pisces at this time. So a solar eclipse is when the sun and the moon are conjunct. They are on top of each other. And both of those at 29 degrees is big. It's a big deal. So in practical terms, don't start anything until late March. And know that there's going to be shifting and changing late February into March to allow the completions to occur. Because we have in Pisces, we have Neptune in Pisces, Mercury, Chiron, the sun and the moon. Five planets in Pisces signaling true completion, true endings, true forgiveness, true resolution, and a part of your journey that you're ready to let go of, that you're ready for. So it's almost like don't grasp anything. Just allow yourself to have an open hand. And then what happens 13 hours later, the spring equinox, which is the new birth, new beginnings. So we have this build up to a solar eclipse ending, and then pow, new beginning, 13 hours later. And that's fast moving energy. So know that whatever is over, that's because something else is ready to knock on your door. And from now until March, the middle of March, know that endings, completions are just the phase that we're in. And to be in the flow, to be in that surrender, that allowing, the trusting. You can't rush time. You can't rush the process. But you don't even want to, because in March we start a new phase, a new journey. And it feels really awesome because not only is the solar eclipse ending something that you're ready to let go of, but that seventh Pluto-Uranus square on the 16th has taken you to a new level. You've arrived at a new level. You've crossed a bridge. It's like the first few steps on new soil. In the Tarot deck, it's the Fool card, which I think is a great card because it's all about beginnings and trust and spirit and going with what feels right for you. It's very much about being in the moment and starting something that's really fitting for you. So March is a powerhouse month. March is allowing things to shift and end and change because, again, you're done with something. You can find out where this energy is happening for you by looking at your astrology chart and looking at the 29 degrees, those late degrees of Pisces. And that will show you where the completion energy is heaviest. And then it probably also shows you where that next beginning is happening, because remember, the spring equinox is less than 13 hours, and that's 0 degrees of Aries, which is the point of creation, the point of new beginnings. We have some big energies this year, as always. You know, the fun doesn't stop here. We just keep getting that next part of our journey. And again, I feel that this is going to be a wonderful year for new beginnings, new starts, newness. And I talked some more about the spiritual themes in last week's show. If you want to catch that episode, what was that? That aired on the 7th, January 7th, if you want to listen to that. It talks more about some of the energy themes of 2015. But the astrological themes are just fresh and new and moving us forward. And I think it's also a great reminder that nothing's forever. Everything's temporary. And the more that we're in the present, the more that we are loving ourselves and feeling gratitude for who we are right now as spiritual beings having a human experience, showing up every day in our, well, for me, yoga pants, maybe for you, high heels, showing up every day aware, conscious, and committed to doing our best and loving ourselves through that process. I think that's really the key. That's really the gift. That's really what we can do to take care of ourselves in the best possible way and to also share that compassion with each other, to offer that to each other as we move through these lessons. Coming up in a few shows, I'm going to talk about why we withhold forgiveness. Because a lot of what the energies have brought up since 2012 is why we circle in certain soul lessons, or why we aren't able to heal certain parts of ourselves, or where we resist. And there's some really easy understandings for that. And so I want to support just letting go of who you were to allow you to step into something more fitting for you. I want to genuinely support that by having you connect with perhaps the parts of yourself that have withheld forgiveness. Because at a soul level, that's not what you want to do. At a soul level, you're so ready to forgive and to let go and to allow something to be complete because you know there's more ahead for you. But it's also important to understand why we withhold. So we're going to look at that. That'll be the beginning of February. Also in February, some more great topics, including a lovely guest named Mira Kelly is going to be here. She is a Hay House author, and she specializes in past life regression. And I'm so excited to talk with her because past life regression is actually one of my favorite topics. And I hope that it helps you. I hope that her book and her offerings help you with your energy understandings and who you are and why you chose certain soul experiences. So that'll be coming up in February. I will be doing more astrology shows for you because I love this. I've been an intuitive astrologer for years, and I'm delighted to connect with so many of you through sessions. And it's just such an exciting time to find more people curious about astrology. So remember, you can sign up for my introductory astrology series. That will start January 20th. You can find out more information on my website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. And in the meantime, I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful month. I'll be back next week with a whole new episode, and I'll be sharing with you more astrology information as 2015 proceeds. So, wishing you the very best and looking forward to the next time we connect. Take good care. This is my moment. I waited all my life. I could tell it's time. Sunset, I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life.
'Cause in this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment alive, alive, alive. Just live my moment.